translation and purport by Abhay Charanavinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. O best among the descendants of Bharat Yudhisthira, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. Purport. The popular saying is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Similarly, the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord, because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Whenever, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, it is for teaching the less intelligent man. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept revelations from the Lord as a benediction. The Pandavas were advised by Bhishmadev to accept the responsibility of administration without hesitation. The poor subjects here, without protection due to the battle of Kurukshetra, and they were awaiting the assumption of power by Maharaj Yudhisthira. A pure devotee of the Lord accepts tribulations as favors from the Lord. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no mundane difference between the two. Repeat the verse once again. Tasmad idam daiva tantram vyafasya paratarshava tasyanu vito nata nata pai praja prabho. A best among the descendants of Bharat Yudhisthira, I maintain therefore that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed administrative head, and my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. Om Ajnanati Mrandasya Chananjana Shanaka Shakshrim Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svyam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiyam Shiru Shiyuda Patakamalam Shirum Vaishnavam Sa Shirupam Charchatam Sankan Ragnatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savutam Parjana Saitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sankanalita Shifishakam Vitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Chyatpate Gopesha Kopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansna Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanashri Vishamana Sute Devi Pranamai Hari Priya Vankha Kalptra Vyasa Kripa Sinbhi Vyasa Patanam Pavan Vyo Vaisna Vyo Namo Namo Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Chi Advaita Radhata Shivasa Tikaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Charaswamiti Namini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvasa Sinyavadi Paska Chai Desatarni Srila Prabhupada Ki. So this is after the battle of Kurukshetra. Was a battle in which millions of Kshatriyas died in that time. During the month of May, I was 2 weeks in Ujjain to follow an Ayurvedic cure. And during that time, I took some time off to read the whole Mahabharata once again. I went to the whole Mahabharata from the beginning till the end. And this, from that reading, a personality which touched my heart very deeply was Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev, he was, in the Battle of Kurukshetra, it was on the 10th day that it was Arjun who shoots with all his force so many arrows in the body of Bhishma Dev that it's a whole story that with Shikhandi. But since then he was lying on the Battle of Kurukshetra with all these arrows through his body. It was going one side to the other. He said, between two arrows you could not put a finger, so many arrows. Still he did not die because he had a benediction. But Lord Krishna wanted to remove all the doubts of Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he wanted Bhishma Dev to speak to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj of his duty. Now Bhishma Dev is one of the Mahajans. Mahajans are those who know the real principles of religion. To get to know the real principles of religion, it's not so easy. It requires a deep understanding of the position of Krishna and his plan. Mahajans, there are 12 Mahajans listed by Yamaraj, who is speaking to the Yamadutas. It says, Svayambhur, Naradasambhur, Kumare, Kapilam, Manu, Pralada, Pralado, Shanaka, Bhishma, Bali, Apyafa, Sakir, Vayam. These are all these Mahajans. And one of them is Bhishma, Bhishma Dev. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, after the Kurukshetra, was thinking, it's because they wanted me on the throne that this battle was fought. Millions of Kshatriyas died, millions of widows. That he was thinking, this is very sinful for me. I'm going to hell. I will suffer many, many lifetimes for that. So how can I get rid of this sin? So that's the inconceivable nature of a heart of a devotee, soft-hearted. A devotee feels always, the fault lies in me. That he never blames others. People blame God for everyone, for their mistakes. But the devotee, he sees one's own faults, that he has no inclination to blame others. That tendency was not in the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked advice from many sages, but still he was not fully convinced. Of course he knew Krishna was the personality of Godhead. Still he took not advice directly from Krishna. But Krishna made arrangements that Bhishmadev, who was one of the Marjans, would instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj. And after the battle of Kurukshetra, after the cremation of all these soldiers and doing and performing all the rites for the deceased, then the Pandavas and Krishna, Pandavas were in royally dressed, went to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and there Bhishmadev was lying with all these arrows. And he was waiting to leave this world. And it was by Lord Krishna's arrangement that Bhishmadev would instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj. And this verse that we have learned here is, or heard this morning, is the essence of this instruction. A very important instruction. Why did Krishna want to stay, to want Bhishmadev to speak? Why is Bhishmadev a Marjan? It's the most misunderstood personality probably in the Mahabharata, because everyone was thinking he was fighting at the wrong side. But that's not external. But let's first try to understand who is Bhishmadev. Bhishmadev, the story starts with, it starts in heaven with Mahavishu and Ganga. That was in the heavenly planets, the demigods had an assembly. Somewhere or another, that Brahma remarked that Mahavishu, one of the demigods, had recently become a demigod, because before he was a pious king on earth, and then he gained entrance to heaven. And there, but Lord Brahma remarked that Mahavishu was looking inappropriately to Ganga. There is more to this story, but the result was that Lord Brahma told Mahavishu, you have to, for that inappropriate behavior, such lusty desires that does not belong to residents of heaven, you have to take birth again on this earth. But then Mahavishu said yes to Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma said after one lifetime you can come back. But Mahavishu said yes, if I have to take birth, let me take birth as a son of King Pratibha, one a very wise king. And Lord Brahma granted that permission. But then in the meantime, something happened, another story happened in heaven. There were eight vases, and the most senior was Diao. Diao was the chief of the eight vases. And they were visiting one time, the place where Vasishtha Muni was staying. en Vasishtha Muni at Kamadena. Wel, Kamadena, Surabhi cow, een cow that could fulfill all desires. En de wife of Dio saw this and said, it would be good, we would be more happy if we would have this cow. It fulfills all your desires. So she said to Dio, I want this cow. And then the Vasus made a plan to get this cow. They cooperated all together, these eight Vasus, and they stole the Kamadena of Vasishtha. Vasishtha, by his mystic power, a great sage, knew what happened. And he cursed all the Vasus to take birth on earth. But when the Vasus elevated demigods, they got to know that, then they came to Vasishtha and begged for his forgiveness. But Vasishtha said, yes, but my words have to become true, that you have all to take birth. But, yes, seven of you will have a very short time on the earth and come back practically immediately. But the eighth one, Dio, he made the plans, he's the chief, he's the culprit. He will have to stay for a full lifetime. But then, all these, the other seven Vasus, they said to Dio, you will have to stay for a full lifetime, but we will give you all our powers. You will get the powers of all of us. And then, but after being cursed, they felt quite dejected, morose, and then Ganga came to see them and said, yes, but tell me what happened. So they told all the whole story. Said Ganga, no problem. You will become the son of a prince on earth, and I will become your mother, and we will make arrangement for that you return quickly to heaven. So then, if we go back to Mahavishu took birth as a king of the son of King Pratipa, and he became King Santanu. King Santanu, then, that's when he became adult, he met at a certain time Ganga, who came from heaven, and he became very attracted to her, like before. In heaven, as Mahavishu, he became very attracted. And so he fell in love with her. And he asked Ganga, please become my wife. But he was so bewildered by her beauty. But Ganga said, yeah, I have one condition to become your wife. You never criticize or stop whatever action I do. Of course, that King Santanu was so bewildered by her beauty, he didn't think much about it, and he said immediately, fine, I agree. So then they married, and then Ganga gave birth to one child after another. And each child, when the child took birth, she threw the child into the Ganga. And of course, that was a plan, because this were all these Vasus, and by getting there in the Ganga, they would leave their body and go back to heaven immediately. But then there was... That went on for many years. But King Santanu, he knew his promise, so he did not criticize her. He tolerated. But then, when the eighth child came, then King Santanu could not restrain himself and said, "Why did you murder all my previous son? Don't murder this one." And Ganga said, "Yes, he will remain alive. But now you broke your promise, I have to leave." But then King Santanu said, "Yes, but maybe you can educate my son, and when he's fully educated, you bring him back." So then, this son was Bhishma Dev, and Bhishma Dev was then educated in heaven by different sages in religious principles. So he was very much educated in these principles. And also he got a very efficient education in celestial martial arts. So when he was full grown, full educated, Ganga brought his Bhishma to King Santanu. So there's much more about the life of Bhishma Dev, how he made a vow never to marry, because his father Santana became attracted to the wife, to the daughter of a fisherman. But then when King Santani wanted to marry her, her father said, I find condition. She got a benediction by a sage that her son would be king. But you have already a son, Bhishma Dev. Bhishma, and he will have, when he married, then his descendant, his son, will be the king. So therefore I cannot give you my daughter. And then Bhishma Dev made his terrible vow to remain celibate during all his life. And then the fisherman agreed to give his daughter in marriage to his father, Santana. Therefore it's called Bhishma. He made this terrible vow of celibacy. And at that time, all the residents of heaven, they showered flowers that Shirada Gokulananda ki, Shitram Lakshmananaman ki. But his father gave him a benediction at that moment. He gave him the benediction that he would not die unless he self wanted. Therefore, even he was lying on the battlefield with all these arrows through his body, that he would not die. And he would instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj, because for more than 50 days, in religious principles and how to rule the kingdom. So Bhishma Dev was fighting at the other side. Why was that? Because he followed the religious principle that one must support the king under all circumstances. And Yudhishthira Maharaj did the same. He followed always the instructions of Dhritarashtra, King Dhritarashtra. That was a religious principle. But we see in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Duryodhana speaks, there's this section you could call the, Duryodhana speaking, he speaks to the generals of his army, first describes the strength of the other party, the Pandavas, and then describes the strength of the Kurus, and then he started to glorify great warriors at this site, and when he comes at Bhishmadev, he glorifies Bhishmadev. But what is the response of Bhishmadev? That's because Duryodhana had the idea the strength of the Kurus is immeasurable, especially protected by grandfather Bhishma. Bhishmadev was at that time when he was lying on the battlefield, when he was fighting the battlefield, he was 120 years old. That's a full lifetime. Of course, people were living a little longer in that time. But he was a grandfather. He had raised the Pandavas when Pandu died untimely. So when Duryodhana was glorifying Bhishmadev, what did Bhishmadev do? He took the conch, symbol of Vishnu, and blew the conch. And by that he was telling Duryodhana and the whole world, I'm a Kshatriya. It's my duty to fight. I will fight as my duty. And victory or defeat is in the hands of the Lord. That's the mood of a devotee. I will do my duty for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And that was Bhishmadev. He was doing his duty for the pleasure of Krishna. This is a very important principle for all of us. There is a deeper sense of the relationship between Krishna and Bhishmadev. Lord Krishna wanted to show two things. Bhishmadev was the most powerful warrior. If he would not have been killed by Arjuna, in a certain way, because that's also a story, because Bhishmadev was practically unconquerable. But why could he be killed? On the ninth day in the evening, on the battlefield, after the battle of that day was finished, the Pandavas went to see Bhishmadev in the other camp. And the question was that Arjuna was asking Bhishmadev, tell me, how can we kill you? In fact, the first day before the Battle of Kurukshetra started, Yudhishthira Maharaj went from his chariot, walking to the other side of the side of the Kurus. He went offering straight his respect to Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev said, good that you came, that if you would not have come, I would have cursed you. But then Bhishma Dev, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, please bless us so that we can win the battle. And he asked also at that time to Bhishma Dev, tell me how can we kill you? But he said, Bhishma Dev said, not now, later maybe. And that happened on the 9th day of the battle of Kurukshetra in the evening. They went to see Bhishma Dev, how can we kill you? And he said, you put before Arjun Shikhandi. And put Arjun behind. And then let Arjun shoot his arrows with all his force. Of course, that's another story. Shikhandi was in a previous life was a woman. And Bhishma Dev, when he was young, although he had his vow of celibacy, he went to the Svayamvar of the different princes and was fighting to gain the bride, to gain the princess, to give it to one of the other princes, on behalf of other princes. And one time he had this fight, and he won three princesses, and he brought them to the prince, to the princess. And when he was bringing these three beautiful princesses, one of the princes said, oh, I'm sorry, but I gave my heart already to someone else, to some other prince. I cannot really marry the prince for whom you have fought. And Bhishma Dev said, okay, then you go to the other prince. But then the other prince said, I don't want you. And then the princess came back to Bhishma Dev, he does not want me. But then the prince for which she was meant, the prince said, no, she has given her heart to another, I don't want her here either. So then, what could the girl do? She went to the forest performing austerities. But she blamed Bhishma Dev. She said, it's all your fault. And she did great austerities to, in her next life, to become a great warrior who could kill Bhishma Dev. Anyway, there are very deep stories behind that. But Bhishma Dev knew Shikhandi was this princess in her previous life. And he said, I don't fight with a woman. That was a whole plan. Anyway, he was unconquerable, but still he was killed. He was conquered. And that Krishna was showing one thing. If you fight at the other side, if you are not at my side, but at the other side, you will never gain victory. You may be the most powerful warrior that exists, but you will never get victory. That's one thing he was showing here. The second thing is that he destined Bhishma Dev to fight at the other side. Why? Because every living entity has a natural relationship with Krishna. These relationships are explained in the Nectar of Devotion. So it means what I want to show you is that Bhishma Dev had a deeper knowledge of the religious principles. which goes deep into the relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. And its relationship with Krishna was that of a servant, of course. You have five primary relationships: the Santaras, neutrality, then Dasya Ras is servitude, that's becoming a servant. We are all servants. We have to choose. We can choose either of God, Krishna, or we can serve our own iron mine. That's the choice we have. There is a relationship with Krishna as a friend, as a parent, or conjugal love. These are the five basic relationships. So Bhishma Dev was in this relationship of friendship, but also there are seven secondary rasas or relationships. And the secondary ras or relationship with Krishna was he had a relationship of chivalry with Krishna. Chivalry and horror. A very interesting relationship. Why is that? How can one have such a relationship with God in this with Krishna in that mood? Because the only purpose of Bhishma Dev was to please Krishna. And Krishna sometimes want to have a good fight. We see that Jayam Vijay, when they were cursed by the four Kumaras, they were cursed, but it was Krishna's arrangement because he wanted to have a good fight. Everything, every propensity, every inclination humans have, they must be in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They must be there, because he's the origin of everything. But in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world, there is no fighting. So therefore, Krishna arranges for that relationship. And Bhishma Dev had this relationship with Krishna. He was fighting with the Supreme Lord. And that was part of Krishna's plan. He was fighting to lose the battle for the pleasure of Krishna. Very interesting. And he shot arrows to Krishna, and Krishna accepted them more lovingly than a pujari offers flowers. So that is a deeper reason why Bhishma Dev was at the other side, for the pleasure of Krishna. A devotee only lives for the pleasure of Krishna. And that's what Bhishma Dev is explaining to Yudhisthira Maharaj. That he said the battle was fight to put you on the throne. That's true. But it was Krishna's plan, because his plan was that all these demoniac kings should be ruled out, and that this pure devotee becomes the emperor and rules the kingdom according to the principles of religion. That was Krishna's plan. And he said, it may be difficult for your mind and senses to overcome all these miseries you went through for fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. But you must execute the order of the Supreme Lord. And that's the whole teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is giving us his orders and it's up to us to execute them for the pleasure of Krishna, not for our temporary I and mine. Our bodies are very temporary, very temporary situation. Meaning of the human form of life is only there in that connection with Krishna. Otherwise, it's all over soon. It's all for nothing. But no, we make spiritual advancement. We develop these divine qualities. And these qualities are the qualities of the soul and are eternal. We realize we are not this body. And that ultimate realization is that we are servants of Krishna. And we have to execute his order. And that's the pleasure of a devotee. That we must follow Krishna's order. Arjuna executed Krishna's order. And it may... Yeah. Arjuna, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, said, Krishna, I'm prepared to follow your instructions. We have to understand from the moment we become devotees that whatever happens in your life as a devotee, good or bad, is Krishna's arrangement. And it was Krishna's arrangement that the Pandavas had to fight this terrible fight. No matter how difficult it is to execute the order of Krishna, they did. So, what is Krishna's plan? Krishna reveals his plan in a very simple way in the Bhagavad Gita. Yadai dai dharmasya klanar bhavda bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tatatmyam chichamyam. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in Krishna consciousness, then I appear to re-establish the principles of religion. The principles of religion is to make everyone Krishna conscious. These are the instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And that's our mission. That's Srila Prabhupada's mission. Whatever it takes, we must execute that mission. That is what Bhishma Dev is stressing here. And yes, that's Paritranaya Sadnam Vinasaya Saduskitam Sampastampartanapaya Bhavami Yuge. Yeah, it means that he comes to associate with the devotees because he engages them in his mission. Because that's our relationship with Krishna. Relationship with God means service, please him, by our actions. And that's acting as a spirit soul, not as the body. That if you act for I and mine, it's just bewilderment. I'm the controller. We are not a controller in this world. That Krishna is a controller, and a devotee understands that. Everything goes according to his plan, but we have free will. We can cooperate with the plan or not. But first you have to know the plan. Krishna says, Sarvadharmam Parijayam Amakam Sarvadharmam Tvamsura Pabriya Muksisyad Mimachya. Give up all these other lower dharmas. And the ultimate spiritual duty of everyone is to surrender to me, to follow my instructions. So that is the ultimate purpose. And so, because Maharaj Yudhisthira was thinking, yes, I have all this, this battle of Kurukshetra was fought to put me on the throne, and I will get all the sinful reactions. But that's not a fact. If you cooperate with the plan of the Lord, then there are no sinful reactions. If you don't cooperate, then you are in trouble. So Matsu Yudhisthira is thinking of these lower levels of Dharma, but Bhishma Dev says you have to follow the ultimate order. It's like I was listening to the Bhakti Shastri classes of Purnachandra Maharaj, and he gives an interesting example. He says you are driving a car and you get a traffic light, it's red, you stop, green, you can go. But then one day you come at a traffic light, and the traffic light is working, but in the middle there is a police officer, and he is directing the traffic this way, that, and you come, and that. So the police officer, his instructions are above those of the traffic light. But when you come at the traffic light and you see the police officer there, and the police officer said, "Oh, come," and you said, no, it's red, no. Then there will be a battle. So we have to understand these higher principles of Krishna consciousness and understand that this is the ultimate goal of life. And we must understand these higher principles. Higher principles based on knowledge that I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul. I have to act as a spirit soul, not as the body. When we acting as a spirit soul means everything belongs to Krishna and is meant for his pleasure. And then you become a selfless person, a beautiful person. Everyone loves such a person who only gives. But those who I mine and take and I, no. That's, we have to give up. So I will stop here. If there are any questions or comments?